Just say six things this morning, because I would, let me tell you where I'm going. Six things I want to say, and then God has been speaking. And Scripture says, it is the fool who says in his heart, there is no God. This morning, if God has been speaking, I want to give the opportunity for you to respond to what God is saying in your life. In your life. So that's where I'm going. Okay? Just so you can be just allowing the Spirit of God just to speak and continue to speak, because He has been speaking powerfully this morning. And so we will give that opportunity. Therefore, you know, offering and notices we'll do right at the end. Okay? But we are in the period of the resurrection of Jesus. And we're in the period, and we can see it before our very eyes with what's happening in the world around us, the potential for war, the potential for further disaster, the potential for further things to happen. And how are we, as Christians, going to be standing in the midst of all that? Already God has been ministering and speaking of standing and being sure and certain of who we are following. And that is Jesus. Because there may come the time when we have to stand upon that truth. And the resurrection is something that was absolutely crucial. It's certain. It's absolute. It happened. All four Gospels are in agreement about the resurrection of Jesus. Those testimonies and eyewitness encased in those Gospels all agree. They all agree about the fulfillment, and Jesus himself, in quoting and speaking, agree in them being the fulfillment of the Scriptures. That Jesus would die, he would be 3 days in the grave, and then he would rise from the dead. Prophesied hundreds of years before. Fulfilled in the life of Jesus. How important is it? 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 to 20. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. So is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God. For we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead, but he did not raise him, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ are lost. If only for this life we have hope in Christ, we are to be pitied more than all men. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Amen. May God bless his word to us this morning. It will always be the resurrection that is the rock on which Christianity stands or falls. The cross is really important. So I'm not decrying the cross, because the price had to be paid. Amen? The price had to be paid. But equally, the resurrection is absolutely vital. So you need to be clear. You need to be clear in your own mind that the faith I've placed in Christ and in his resurrection is rock solid. Because it will be tested. Listen to what Paul says. Six things. Our preaching is useless. If Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless. In other words, it will not achieve the purpose that God has for it. Don't get me wrong. We have many great speakers. And by that I mean in the world. Not just Christian. They can be of whatever faith or religion or no faith whatsoever. People follow people who are great orators, who are charismatic in what they can say and how they say things. People love them, either in words or in songs. They follow them like gods. So speaking and orating in itself, we can do. The danger is we can do that in church as well. But it's more than just words. Because he's saying that if Christ is not raised from the dead, if he is dead and he is in the grave, our preaching is useless. It is not achieving the plan of God. The Titanic, well, I think the makers of the Titanic, Harland and Wolff, they would say, we never said that the Titanic was unsinkable. They boasted about the design, they boasted about the latest technology, all the compartmentalization of the body of the ship, so that if one part was breached, it was sealed because it was many compartments. They would boast about that, but they backed off and said, we never claimed that it was unsinkable. But somewhere along the line, the myth developed, the oratory developed, the wording developed, the preaching developed that it was unsinkable. And then it hit the iceberg. A powerful impact that just broke through several compartments to a devastating effect so that the whole ship sank. And suddenly what was believed and what was preached, quotes, was proved to be false. A false premise. If our preaching is about the resurrection of Jesus, the life of Jesus, his death, and he did not rise from the dead, our preaching is useless. It's not achieving God's purpose. Secondly, if Christ did not rise from the grave, our faith is dead. It's dead faith. We have misplaced our trust. How many of you know faith is very real? Faith, you can't, there's no argument about faith. Everybody practices faith. Even those who would say they are atheists and have no belief, they practice faith. We practice faith from the moment we sit on that chair made by whatever manufacturers. We practice faith by sitting on it, believing that it will hold our weight. Faith is exercised. Faith is exercised by entrepreneurs, those who believe, hey, if I do this, 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 I see a gap in the market, and I think I have what it needs to fill that gap, and then I'll be able to make a living out of it, but it's going to make, to make it happen, I'm going to have to invest some money, take a risk. Entrepreneurs are doing it all the time. And some of them succeed, and they make big money. Faith, it's been exercised all the time, not just by Christians. The issue is not faith. The issue is, in who do you place your faith? In what do you place your faith? That is the issue, because faith is very real. And if Christ did not rise from the dead, we have misplaced our faith. That's what Paul is saying. Our faith is in Jesus. The name that we've been singing about, the name who we've been worshiping, it's in him. Because at the end of the day, for us, Christ has risen from the grave. The grave is empty. He's dead. He's not dead. He's not to be found. You can find Muhammad. He's dead. Confucius is dead. Buddha is dead. Zoroastra is dead. They all died, and that's fully accepted. But Christ, though they've tried and tried, they cannot find a body. They cannot find him because he's not there. He's risen. He's alive. That is the absolute truth. And history cannot turn it back. Because if the grave is empty, the grave is empty. Thirdly, if Jesus has not been raised from the dead, we are false witnesses. False witnesses, that's what he's saying in these verses. A witness is someone who testifies truthfully to what they have seen or heard, or both. A false witness is someone who tells lies or who is inaccurate in what they have seen and in what they have heard. And if Christ is not raised from the dead, we are false witnesses. I am misleading you. You are misleading others. Your testimony is invalid. That Jesus lives in me, it's invalid. Because he's dead. He's in the grave. He's not alive. You can look at lots of cases. There was over 200 cases in about 2008 when I was reading an article that the judicial system in America, they had deep misgivings with the advance of technology and of being able to examine DNA. Some of the results of committals to prison for some individuals, they realized were wrong. And of 200 that had been cast into prison, some for dozens of years, some for tens of years, when the DNA was looked at, that person did not rape that person. And of the 200, 75% of those cases were based on a witness. A false witness, either by meanful, intended to do it, or that they said the wrong person. Are we a false witness? Are you a false witness? Or is Jesus alive? Is Jesus alive? Yeah? Because I know he lives. I know he lives. And the hymn puts it beautifully for me. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he's living, no matter what men say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always here. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me. He talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Jesus is alive. And we need to stand upon that truth. Absolute, no doubts, no fears. Fourthly, if Jesus has not been raised, we are still in our sins. We are still in our sins. And that's worst of all. If Christ has not been raised, we are still burdened with the problem of sin. That which separates man from God, our imperfection, as opposed to his perfection. The debt has not been paid. There is no redemption through his blood or forgiveness of sins. By his stripes, we are not healed. There is no name under heaven that saves. Christ did not pay the price to set us free. If Christ did not rise from the grave, we are still in our sins. We are still dead. We're still dominated by sin. We're still disobedient. We're still depraved in our activity, in our belief, in our morality. We are still doomed for the wrath of God if Christ did not rise from the grave. Fifthly, the dead in Christ are lost. The dead in Christ are lost. This is all that Paul is saying here. One of the great joys that we have as believers in the Lord is to know that those who are in Christ, our loved ones, our friends, our colleagues, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that when they have passed, and we can name many who have passed, the great comfort and hope that we have is, hey, the grave is not the end. We can say, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? It gives us great peace of heart and peace of mind. It helps get us through those difficult losses of loved ones, knowing that it's not the end. But if Christ is not raised, the dead in Christ are lost. And so the same becomes true. Eat, drink, be merry, because tomorrow we die. It's all over. End. And sixthly, if Christ is not raised, there is no afterlife. There is no afterlife. All of Jesus' talk about eternal life and this gift of eternal life goes up in smoke if Christ be not raised from the dead. But thank goodness, verse 20 ends with but. But Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. What is the proofs? Let me just mention quickly. Acts 1:3. After his suffering, he showed himself to those men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. And then we see clearly in the scriptures, in the testaments that are written down, that he appears over 10 times. Mary Magdalene in the garden, to the women returning from the tomb, to Peter, someone who denied him, on the Emmaus Road, Cleopas and another disciple, walking with them, talking with them, opening the scriptures to them. And they were so in their grief and absolute shutdown that Christ had been crucified and he was dead, they didn't even recognize until suddenly they realized who he was. To the 10 apostles in the room, the upper room, 10 apostles. And then he appears again, sixthly, to the 11, because there had been one missing. His name was Thomas. And Thomas had said, listen, I've seen it. I saw what happened to Jesus. There's no way. He's dead. And I won't believe unless I can put my finger in the wounds in his side, his hands, his feet. I won't believe unless I can do it. And there's many who say that. Show me Jesus and I'll believe. And then Jesus appears. And Thomas is struck back. And he approached him, Thomas, put your hand, your finger in my wounds. And Thomas falls to his knees. My Lord and my God. Oh, that you would do that this morning. If you don't know Jesus, that you would fall on your knees and say, my Lord and my God, I got it wrong. But this morning I want to put that right. I want to put my trust in you. To the 11 and 500 on Mount Tabor, 500 other people, he appeared, taught them, instructed them. To James, his brother, how many have struggles with their families about faith in Jesus? You long for your family to know Jesus like you do, but family can be often the hardest place for an individual to live their Christian life, particularly when the rest of the family don't believe or are on another path at this point in time. James, his other brothers and sisters, they view Jesus as, what is he doing when he began this ministry? And Does he just want fame? Does he just want to be in the public eye? Does he want to be a political character? And it wasn't really until the resurrection that the penny eventually dropped. My brother is more than just a man. Oh God, now I believe. And Father, I pray that for our families in Jesus' name. I pray for the revelation of Jesus in their lives. All the prayers that have been said over the years, all the heart's desires and cries for your loved ones, I pray to God, let them come to pass. You know, Lord God, we'd love them to know Jesus. Hear our prayer. Hear our cry. To James, brother of Jesus, and praise God, James went on to lay down his life for Jesus. To the 11 on the Mount of Olives, 40 days later, his final appearance before he ascends and goes back. Do you know, there is an empty grave. The grave of Joseph. An empty grave, and the angel says, why do you look in this tomb? There's nobody here. And we make joy about that, but there's also a flip coin to that. And that is, the angel says, come and see. Come and see. There's nobody there. And God says to you this morning, come and see. Come and see for yourself. Scripture says, taste and see. The Lord is good. That is where the step of faith comes in. Come. That means a step of faith. You already quoted it, Helen, Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. In other words, put Jesus first. Put your faith, your trust in him, and he will help you sort all the rest out, whatever's going on in your life. Don't try and sort everything out in your life so that you feel worthy to come to Jesus, because you'll never get there. You'll never get there because you're not perfect. Just take the step of faith and ask Jesus in, and the promise is all these other things he will give to you. He will sort them out. Which brings me to what I said at the beginning. A moment where we can say and respond to what we've heard. Amen? It's been lovely to have Helen ministering, and Jermaine. Let's give Jermaine a really big round of applause as well. Thanks for coming, Jermaine. A beautiful ministry team. I'm going to ask you, Jermaine, just to come again. And Helen, just to be ready. I want to give the opportunity for you to respond to Jesus. First and foremost, and most importantly of all, do you know him? Do you know him? And that is different from knowing about Jesus. I was like that for years. I knew about Jesus, knew about God. I did believe, but I never allowed him in. My knowledge didn't change my life and the way I was living. I lived for myself. But when I came to know Jesus, I started to live for him, a step of faith. Shall we bow our heads? Is there anyone here this morning and you're going to respond to the invitation that the angel gave to those who came looking for a dead God, only to find that he was alive? The angel said, come, come and see. That's the invitation this morning. Come. And if that's you, just give me a wave. This morning you're saying, Glenn, I'm coming to Jesus. No more holding back. No more holding back. Just looking around, if that's you, just give me a wave if you're saying yes to Jesus this morning. Then it means all in this room this morning are happy that they're right with the Lord. Their faith is in Jesus. Amen is what I say to that. And so as believers, I'm speaking to us this morning. It's time to make a stand. To stand upon the truths of Jesus. We are the ones who serve a risen Savior. We are the ones who serve a God who is alive and is able to work in lives today. And so if there's anything in what I've said, anything in what God's been speaking through the worship ministry, powerful worship ministry we've had this morning, I give you that invitation just to come. Come to the front. We will pray for you. We're not going to prolong it, but we're going to pray for you in faith that the God who is alive will hear the prayer that will set the captive free, that will break chains, that will give breakthrough in our respective situations. It might be about us, it might be about loved ones, friends, colleagues, whatever. But it's going to take a step of faith. So take it this morning. Feel free to come to the front and we'd be delighted to pray for you as we have a closing song. Shall we stand together? Let's not waste time. Just come. Just come. If that's you, come to the front. I've asked the ministry team to come. We'll just minister prayer to you in Jesus' name. friends, open your eyes. Pray for those next to you. Just lay hands upon their shoulders. Don't have to look into their eyes, unless there's an ulterior motive, of course. You don't have to do that. But let's pray the best of God for them in Jesus' name. I believe a prophetic word, simple though it was said by Ian, the weightlifters who came at the meal, and they just simply said, as he stood up here and he looked out, he said, "Wow, if every one of you was on fire, you would change Romford." Hallelujah!
Yes, it's true.
It took only 12, and we're still the legacy of those 12 all those years ago with Jesus. Let's believe it. Let's pray the best for us. Let us not pray that we will not be hindered by life's waves of issues, life's waves of temptations, life's waves of circumstances to overcome. But we will stand as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died, the one who rose again, the one who lives in us. And that by the power of His Spirit, we will not back off, but we will stand for Jesus. Pray that for your brother, pray that for your sister, and that whatever's going on in their life, they will overcome it and they will still stand in faith and not be pulled back. In the name of Jesus, we serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you thanks for your presence with us this morning. We thank you for your ministry to us, to your body through worship, through the word of God. And gracious Heavenly Father, we pray, send us out, Lord, as people who are ambassadors for Jesus, standing secure upon what we believe and whom we have placed our trust, and ministering the Christ who lives and therefore can change lives and issues and circumstances today. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, Amen. Hallelujah. Some practical things.